You know, I can't tell you how many times I have entered a church on Easter morning in my life, probably almost all of them, and it never gets old, the Easter procession. To see all the faces, the full pews, the procession of the word and the cross and the candle and the acolyte leading us on the way, but then just the full volume of praise to God. Just a foretaste, right? This is just a foretaste of the feast to come. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you were with us, and I know we have many visitors, so I want to recap here at the beginning, but through this season of Lent and Easter, our series has been focused on the places of the Lord's Passion, and we've learned that along the way that every place that our Lord enters, He transforms it. And so today, He never leaves it as He found it. He transforms it. Today, we are at the empty tomb, a place of remembering. Life is full of memories, isn't it? Some memories take us back into time where we are tempted to revel in the good old days. And there are many good memories to enjoy for all of us. I remember one on Easter Sundays after worship, my brother would perform these magic tricks upstairs for my sister and I. We were the two youngest. So the two oldest boys could go downstairs and hide the Easter eggs while we're being entertained. It was a special memory for me because it was the one day, or at least one day during the year, when our large family would all come together and actually share the whole day together. You know, we get so busy going our own way every other day. So some memories take us back in time like that. On the other hand, some memories move us into the present and inspire us to look forward with hope to what's to come. The birth of a child is one of those, or a grandchild is an example of that. And this is what also happened for the women at the empty tomb. The angels who met them there said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered Jesus' words. But they remembered more than his words of prophecy. They remembered their rabbi's teaching and promises. They remembered his power and authority to work miracles, and his compassion and mercy for the broken and for the outcast, even for sinners. They remembered their Lord's obedience to his Father's will. For these women, remembering brings them more fully into the present time. They remembered as they looked upon the empty tomb and heard the words of these men in dazzling white, and they were filled with hope for the future. Now they begin to understand this world and their lives in a new and fuller way. Now their world includes empty graves and men dressed in dazzling white, angels who are watching over them. These things make sense. Remember? Jesus had talked about a heavenly kingdom. The whole world is God's, and God's kingdom has come, just like he said. But what about the pain of the crucifixion? Was this all a mistake? No. Remember? Jesus had told them. his betrayal and his death. Even those were a part of the Father's will. God so desired to save all people that he gave his only Son to bear the punishment for their sin. And now that punishment is gone. Divine vengeance is over. And the open grave gives a glimpse of heavenly joy for those who have eyes to see. Angels now talk to humans, and humans speak to one another, sharing a message that saves every man, every woman, every child who will receive it. God loves you so much he gave his life for you. And now he lives and reigns forever, your God. Suddenly, life for these women has become worth living. They run from the tomb to live fully in his grace. Remembering, therefore, can bring us more fully into the present and give us a future hope. But our world tries to tell us a different story, doesn't it? Our culture increasingly shakes its head at us Christians, reluctant to remember or even acknowledge the power of God's grace in Christ, a free gift. The world strives, still strives, for power and control of their own, of things that we know are passing away. Rather than confessing their sin and bending a knee to our Lord, the Lord of life and love, they see a God who wants to take their freedom away. Too many rules, outdated morality. Besides, it can't be that simple. After all, this is not how the world works. And that's the point. What the world fails to see is that it is our sin that got us into this mess in the first place. The reality of sin deep down in the heart of every person has broken our world and causes us to fear what we know we deserve. So sadly for many, they look back and remember their sins and the sins of all those around them, and they don't see hope. They see injustice, and they see pain, and they conclude that they must get power and control to make everything all right. Their hope is in government, or medicine, or money, or new technology. But we won't live forever, not in this world. And these have all been tried before. And as God's word tells us in Ecclesiastes, it's all vanity, meaningless, without the one true God at the center as the creator and king of everything, including our lives. And this is why we celebrate Easter. And this is why we come here for worship week after week, to praise the one who breaks the darkness of sin. To remember that God's ways are not our ways, right? That his thoughts are not our thoughts. And when he causes us to remember the resurrection, he does not take us away from the world, out of the world, or convince us that we need to save the world. Because he already has. So now in Christ, and by the power of his resurrection, God sets us free to experience life today, already in his kingdom, with deeper meaning and with hope. Today, the church remembers the death and the resurrection of Jesus. This event makes life in this crazy world richer and more full of meaning. And more than this, the events of Holy Week, which are better attested by more recorded witnesses than any other event in antiquity, remind us that we no longer need to live in fear and revenge and a misguided notion of man's perfect justice, because God's real and perfect justice is already here, fulfilled when Jesus faithfully endured the pain and the suffering and the death of the cross to pay for your sins and the sins of your enemy, whoever you might think that enemy is. God comes to us today and speaks to us. He says, "Remember my son, Jesus. He gave his life for you. Your sins are forgiven. He has risen and he rules and is now the author of life. Through him, you are a child of my kingdom. In him, you are a member of my family. And with him, your life is now part of my work in human history." When God makes his love known in Jesus, you are freed from your sins as far as the east is from the west. So far have your sins been removed from you. And now we live together in God's kingdom. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And because he is risen, he has defeated death. He has overcome sin. He is the author of life now and forever. And when Jesus is the author of your life, every day has deeper meaning. Some people think the church needs to make God more relevant in the world. For them, God is some distant power, some deity who is far away, buried in ancient names and in ancient books. They say that they need to take matters in their own hands, or we need to. The church, they say, needs to bring this God into the 21st century, make him relevant for people. For them, the church should first identify the needs of people and then look through the scriptures to make God fit those needs. So if the world has people who need better self-esteem, for example, then the church should look through the Bible and find a Jesus who can give us principles for personal development. If a person needs a better prayer life, then the church should come up with a Jesus who has a five-step method for prayer. If people need, in this view, people are looking at Jesus as an ever-changing figure, the latest God to hit the market, always offering people what they need or what at least they think they need. And somehow this will make God more relevant, they say. But the God of the Bible and of all creation turns this thinking on its head, because God does not need to make himself relevant to people. He is God, after all. And he rules all things, including us. What people forget is that God doesn't need to make himself more relevant. He already is. What God does is make people relevant to him. God remembers. God remembers his people always, even when they forget. That's God's gracious work. He never stops calling and gathering and enlightening his people throughout the world with his mercy and his grace and his love. This is what makes your life relevant to him and to his kingdom forever. His perfect love, his perfect timing, his perfect work, his perfect power, and his perfect salvation, all yours by faith. when God graciously intervenes and brings people into His kingdom, He makes their lives relevant forever. People are relevant not because of anything in them or anything done by them, but simply because they belong to God, the Creator. And because they live in God's world, we live in this world together. Our daily business now becomes more than just business. It is a vocation, a job, a responsibility, and a joy when we recognize that God makes us a part of His plans. That difficult conversation that may be on your heart this morning that you need to have with somebody, a friend or a family member, is an occasion for gracious speech. The fragile moments of our lives are filled with meaning beyond our own knowing or doing, because there is love here beyond our own strength. Our lives are in the hands of God every day, every second of every day. And there in His hands, we become part of the way that God is at work in the world. For us, as for these women at the tomb, life becomes more meaningful because Christ has risen and sends us forth to live in His world and by His grace. Today, Luke proclaims the resurrection. And he's asking us to remember. Remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Him you are forgiven. By Him you have new life. And with Him your life is a part of His unfolding kingdom. I get it. It is easy in this crazy world to get distracted and to forget at times what's truly important. So thanks be to God that His love is continually being poured out whenever and wherever God's people gather around the word of promise that we have in Christ. And that once you hear and receive that promise, God's love becomes unforgettable. And now may the peace, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.